You're listening to the Language Assistance Podcast, brought to you by the British Council. For more information about the British Council or the Language Assistance Programme, please visit britishcouncil.org.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Language Assistance Podcast. I'm Finn and today I'm joined with Olivia.
Hello everyone.
And we're going to discuss how to apply and all the information you will need during the application process. So we're going to start by talking through the applications itself, the key dates and what to look out for, as well as information for those who are consecutive applicants or have done the programme before. So, to start, when are applications open, Olivia?
So, the application process is open now. Our application is all done online, so if you find our website, you can access the application on there. The deadline for us to have all submitted applications for is Wednesday, the 5th of February, 2020. So, you've still got a little while to complete the application and submit it, and the application deadline will be 4 p.m. that day, and that's for every single country. It doesn't matter which country you're applying for. And something new this year is that as some of you will know, you need to have a reference submitted along with your application, otherwise it won't be considered as a complete application. But this year the reference deadline is a week later than the application deadline, so all references must be submitted by Wednesday the 12th of February 2020. Once you submit your application, the referee that you listed down at the end and the email address that you provided, an online reference form will be sent automatically to your referee, and then they'll have to complete that before the deadline. So we would recommend making sure that your referee will be able to complete the reference for you before submitting the application. So if you make a mistake on the application and your referee says that they won't be able to complete the reference for you either in time or at all, then you need to get your referee to send the online reference form to your new nominated referee. So it's got a unique link on the email which will take them to your specific reference, so your new referee will just need to have access to that link. If any questions on that, you can give us an email and we can explain.
I think the website provides lots of in-depth information on things such as eligibility criteria, but things to look out for, to name a few: native level English is a really key requirement. Most countries have language requirements, except this year Spain and China have removed their language requirements as eligibility, which is important to know. I would check each individual country page to see what their own eligibility criteria is, as some may have different requirements regarding visas and passports. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the length of placements. When you are filling out this application form, please be very careful to use a permanent email address, especially if you're in your final year. Don't use your university one, because if that expires or you no longer have access to it, it will be very difficult for you to then access all the information and for us to have contact with you throughout the year. Okay, so moving on to how to apply.
So as Finn said earlier, you do everything online, and it's really important that you register with a permanent email address, as this cannot be changed once you've registered. Then through the application form, it is quite a straightforward process. We ask for your own personal details just so that we can contact you during the process, let you know how your application is progressing. Then we'll also ask for things like your passport details, just to ensure that you're eligible for the country that you're applying for. And one thing that's important is when you're filling out the eligibility criteria, that's the only thing that you can't go back and change once you've gone through that page. So it will ask you to tick a few boxes to ensure that you're eligible. And once that has been completed and you press next, then you won't be able to change your answers to the eligibility criteria. So just make sure that you fill that all in correctly. Otherwise, you'll have to start a new application if you've done any of that wrong. after you've filled in the eligibility criteria, we'll also ask for your education history and your employment history as well. This will help us just learn a bit more about you and also make sure that you've got the experience needed to fulfill your role as a language assistant. After that, we'll ask for your preferences. So what's important in the preferences section is that you can make three country preferences. If you want to be considered for Spain first, and then maybe France second and Italy third, for example, that's absolutely fine. You'll be considered first and foremost for your first preference, and then if you're unsuccessful for any reason for that country, then you'll be considered for your second and then third choice. Really important thing on that is if you want to go to a country either in Latin America, Canada or China, you must put that country first, otherwise you will not be considered for that country. This is because they're highly competitive and you will have to do a video interview for those countries. You have to put those first. You can't put Spain first and Argentina second, for example. If you want to be considered for Argentina, it would have to be your first choice, or any other country in Latin America, Canada or China. Then within your country preferences, for most countries you can also make regional preferences, but this does vary. So we'll just get to know a bit more about where you would want to be an assistant, and then we try our very best to fulfil these preferences for all candidates. That's why it's really important to ensure that you research all the locations that you put as your preferences, as you could be placed anywhere within these regions. It's important to pick ones that you'd be happy to accept a placement in no matter what, and that's why we ask that applicants are flexible. And you can also make preferences on the environment that you would like to live in, so like city, rural or town, and also the age group that you would prefer to teach. So all that's taken into consideration when we match candidates to regions and schools.
Key notes to add as well in the preferences section: there's often going to be a comment box, and in particular for countries such as France, where there are different option selections, if there is a particular place within that option, and again it needs to be well researched and with a really good reason for you to want to go there, please list them. We can't guarantee that you will definitely get your first preference, but the more information we can have, the more information we can work with, really.
Yeah.
And that also counts for things such as your background. If you have any requirements, whether they be medical, physical, however we can help and we're aware of that, we can then use that when we are doing kind of matching meetings and looking to place candidates in suitable environments. So the more information we have, the better.
And a word on that, if you are currently living in the country that you're applying for, so if you already have a permanent address in, say, Spain or somewhere, there is a box that you'll be able to write the details of exactly where you're living, and then we can try our very best to get you a placement close to that place. So as Finn said, the more information we have, the more we'll be able to try and fulfil those requests. And then the most important part for us of the application form is the supporting statement and the motivation. These are separate in the application form. So first we'll like to hear about what is your motivation to be a language assistant? Why would you like to be a language assistant? What will you bring to the role? Will it be beneficial for your future development? And how will you benefit the school that you'll be working in? That's really important, just to see why you would like to be a language assistant. And then the supporting statement, you'll have to tell us a number of things, and these are your adaptability, so how well you can adapt to situations that might be unforeseen, your target country cultural awareness as well, how much you know about the country that you'll be going to live in. And we also look at teaching experience as well. This doesn't have to be formal, it can be informal, it could be tutoring, mentoring, even dance classes or something like that, just experience working with children or younger people. I think that's all you'd have to write about in the supporting statement. You will, in the application form, you are prompted to cover all of these things, so don't worry, you don't have to remember all of those things. At the end of the application, you'll have to give the email address of someone who can act as your referee. If you're a current student, it could be one of your tutors or a year abroad coordinator. But if you graduated before January 2019, then your referee should be a recent employer. And as we said earlier, just make sure that your referee will be able to complete the reference in time of the deadline.
Once you have submitted your application, you cannot change it. So make sure when you've submitted it, you're happy with it. It's not first come, first serve.
Nope.
As an application process. So make sure that you are happy with it and it's ready to send off when you click that final submit button.
Yeah, if there's anything that you might want to add, just make sure that's added before you've submitted, because as Finn said, it can't be changed after it's been submitted. If you've not submitted it yet, but you can dip in and out, so you can create an account, start the application and save it, and then you can come back to it. But yeah, once it's submitted, that is it.
It should be treated as a job application.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I think you should treat it as if you were applying to any job, really, with that level of motivation, giving all your experience, and try and make yourself the best possible candidate you can be for the language assistant role. What should I do if there is an error with my application? Best thing to do here would be to send an email to the language assistant's account.
We ask you to email in if something does go wrong, just because depending on the error, we'll have to advise in a different way. So if it's something to do with the system, we'll have to get our technical team to look into it. But if it's something else, we might be able to advise without passing it on to the third parties.
So now we're going to move on to the final section, which is for those who are consecutive year applicants, and then finally for those applicants that have done it in the past but they might not be consecutive year.
Yeah.
So for consecutive year applicants, if you are looking to apply to the same country, again, I would definitely recommend consulting our website as a first port of call, because it does list the different processes for certain countries. This isn't possible in all countries. It is only certain countries you can do a consecutive year, which are Colombia, Chile, Canada, France, Switzerland, Spain, and Mexico.
Yeah.
So they're the only countries where you can do a consecutive year in the same country. So for France and Canada, you apply directly through the partner organisations. Chile is through the British Council in Chile. And for the others, you need to resubmit an application with further guidance on the website in terms of what you have to put in certain areas, because the answers will be slightly different.
Yeah.
And if it's a different country, you just submit a new application. And then for Spain, there are additional information, key points to look at in terms of regions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some additional requirements. So different regions, as they have different ways of running the program, they'll have different policies on who can renew, how many times you can renew. So it's really important, as Finn said, to just check the website for that, because the rules are set by our partner organizations. We can't change any of that. It's important to note as well, everyone can be a language assistant for a maximum of 4 cycles. So 4 academic years, and that can be either consecutive or not consecutive, and can also be in 4 different countries if you want it to be, or 4 years in the same country.
Finally, in terms of those who are applying as non-consecutive former language assistants, there's more information about this on the website. But you will need to submit a new application, completing all sections in full. However, where it comes to the referee, you need to provide details of a current referee, as well as a reference from your former host institution. So that's quite important, so make sure you have both of those. And I think that's everything. So thank you so much for listening. We're very excited to have many applications flood in,
yeah,
for sure. And have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to the Language Assistance Podcast, brought to you by the British Council. For more information about the British Council or the Language Assistance Programme, please visit britishcouncil.org. Or why not follow the Language Assistance Programme on Twitter @LanguageASST.